Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Shalom, greetings. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. You know, we have a culture that's like obsessed with zombies. I mean, have you noticed that over the years, like this whole zombie thing? The Walking Dead, all that stuff. I gotta tell you, sometimes yesterday, I was just walking through Walmart trying to pick up a few things, and I felt like you didn't need to go see zombie movies or The Walking Dead. You just needed to go walk through the parking lot, walk around the store. I mean, I've just noticed lately that people are just in a weird state of mind. It's almost hard to explain, and there's like, it seemed like nobody has any self-awareness. Like, you couldn't hardly shop or do anything because people just block the aisles. They have no idea that there's other human beings around them. Either that or they just don't care. There's no courtesy, no kindness. Just people in their own world. Almost like you look at them and it's like deer in the headlights look everywhere. And then the people who don't look like they're in this weird zombie brainwave state are angry and being mean to one another. I had to drive to Indianapolis on Friday. I had to pick up my race packet. I was in a half marathon over there, and it was about noon, so there was a little decent amount of traffic as I'm going into Indianapolis, and people just like cutting each other off on the roads and honking at each other. I saw at a stoplight a guy get out of his truck and started threatening the other guy, or whoever it was in the car next to him. And I was just thinking, oh my gosh, there's just no love of any kind anymore. People have no respect for one another, no respect for humanity, no love at all. It's just, the love of many has waxed cold, and everyone is offended. And, you know, that's what Jesus tells us is going to happen in the book of Matthew, in chapter 24, the 10th verse. He says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And in verse 12, he says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All you gotta do to see this is to walk outside. Is to just go observe people and how they treat one another. And just pay attention while you're driving. You better be paying attention while you're driving, because most people are looking down. I don't know if you've noticed this as well. Most people are looking down, staring into the black screen of death in their hands as they drive down the road. So you gotta pay attention anyway, but just watch how people treat one another. And look at how you can read their lips and their faces and their expressions as other cars are in front of them, or if somebody does something they don't like. I mean, people are just mean. They're so easily offended. They hate one another. The love of many really has waxed cold. And we could go into details about all the reasons for that, but that, to me, that's irrelevant. You know, to me, that ship has sailed. The reality is we have a culture of people filled with hate for one another for all sorts of different reasons. Everyone's only concerned about themselves and how things impact them and them and them, and it's me and it's me, me, me. And there's no love for their fellow brethren. Yeah, we don't have to watch movies about this stuff. We don't have to watch TV series about this stuff. You just have to step outside your house. Or maybe in some cases it's inside your house. The way you treat one another, your spouse, your kids. So I don't know why I opened with that this morning, but I just, something I've been thinking about the last couple days. And I thought maybe I'd share that with you. Maybe you're noticing some similar things If you're noticing something similar. Well, I'm going to read this morning from, I believe I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 26 today. And I think I might read from the Psalms first, because we've been trying to get Psalms in as often as possible. And we're ready for Psalm, it's only like five verses. We're ready for Psalm 48, and it really kind of leads into the prophet Isaiah chapter 26. So let me start by reading the first 14 verses from the Psalms, and then we're just going to move right into Isaiah chapter 26. So let's start with that. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the both sides of the earth, of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled, and they hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this is God our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And that is Psalm 48. Lord of hosts, the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. I just wanted to read that and then move directly into Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, a lofty city. He layeth it low, he layeth it low. Even to the ground he bringeth it, even to the dust. You know, the scriptures talk so much about protection and all these things from God because you've trusted in him. This is like the big thing. This is like the big faith thing. God wants you to believe and trust in him. And if you really believe and trust in him, he will protect you. That's what the scriptures always say. Let's read those four verses again. And you know, we're moving into a time. We're not moving into a time. We've moved into a time where we really need to be gathered under the wing of God and protected. Because there's a lot of hostility towards righteousness, hostility towards God's people. The enemy has agents everywhere. The spiritual, demonic realm is just ramped up and grown. And we need more than ever to be trusting in the Lord. We need more than ever to be walking in righteousness and holiness and putting on the armor of faith, the armor of salvation. And we need to have that sword of the word, the only real weapon that we have against the spiritual warfare that we are in. Let me read verses 2 through 5 again. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When you trust in God, he pours out a spirit of peace upon you. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth low, he layeth it low. Even to the ground, he bringeth it even to dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thy enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when the chastening was upon them. Like a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in the sight of our Lord, in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. There's coming a day, just like the scriptures say here, that the dead men shall live together with my body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. There's going to be a resurrection. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out its dead. And then God says this, come, My people enter into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation, that means wrath, be overpassed. Why? For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. You know, it's a very similar talk or way of saying what we also hear in the book of Revelation, where God says, come out of her, my people. Why? Lest you take part of her sins and in her plagues. Here in Isaiah, he's saying, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut the door and hide thyself for a little moment until the wrath, the indignation be overpassed. Why? Because, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. This day is coming. And Isaiah describes a resurrection and this happening. And then there's many people who believe that this is a verse that may possibly be talking about the rapture. And as you guys know, I don't get into the rapture debate conversations. But I also am willing to have an open heart and an open mind at these things and not shut my heart and mind off to these possibilities. And admittedly, this verse does seem to describe a protection of some kind and also a rising of the dead. Interesting, at least, to ponder. But what I really want to focus on here in the last few minutes is this idea of coming out of the world. In this verse here in Isaiah, he says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers, shut the door about thee, hide thyself. In the book of Revelation, he says, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her plagues and her sins. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I want to read the commentary from Matthew Henry on this as we close. May it speak to your heart. He's talking about verses 20 and 21. Come, the enter into thy chambers because of the indignation, because the Lord is coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. I want to read to you his commentary on these two verses. These two verses are supposed not to belong to the song which takes up the rest of the chapter, but to begin a new matter, and to be rather an introduction to the following chapter than a conclusion of this. Of whereas in the foregoing song the people of God had spoken to him, complaining of their grievances, here he returns to answer to their complaints, in which he invites them to enter into their chambers. Come, my people, come to me. Come with me. He calls them nowhere where he himself will accompany them. Let the storm that distresses others bring you nearer together. Come and enter into thy chambers. Stay not abroad, lest you be caught in the storm as the Egyptians were in the hail. Come into chambers of distinction. Come into your own apartments and continue not any longer mixed with the children of Babylon. Come out from among them and be ye separate. As we see in 2 Corinthians, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and ye receive not of her plagues. If God has set us apart, those that are godly for himself, they ought to set themselves apart into the chambers of defense, in which by the secrecy or the strength of them you may be safe in the worst of times. The attributes of God are the secrets of his tabernacle. Psalms 27:5 says, for in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. His name is a strong tower into which we may run for shelter. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. We must be faith, find a way into these chambers, and there hide ourselves. That is, with a holy security and serenity of mind, we must put ourselves under the divine protection. Come, as Noah, into the ark, for he has shut the doors about him. When dangers are threatening, it is good to retire and to lie hid, as Elijah did by the brook Cherith. Into chambers of devotion, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said this, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Be private with God. Enter into thy chambers to examine thyself and to commune with thy heart, to pray and humble thyself before God. This work is to be done in times of distress and danger. And thus we hide ourselves, that is, we recommend ourselves to God to hide us. And he will hide us either under heaven or in heaven. Israel must keep within doors when the destroying angel was slaying the firstborn of Egypt. Else the blood of the door of the post will not secure them. So must Rahab and her family when Jericho is being destroyed. Those are most saved that are least seen. He has lived well who sought a proper decree of concealment. Well, that's only half of Matthew Henry's commentary on this. But we are out of time. You know, I talk about your actions matter all the time. We're living in a strange period of time in history, a dangerous time in history. There's so many things that can distract you, and trinkets and things that can take you away from God and lead you into the world. We need to come out from among the Babylonians. We need to not be like them. We need to enter into our chambers and we need to shut the door about. Listen, in this verse, Isaiah tells you to hide yourself. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. We should be loving, meek, and quiet people, not partaking and making a fuss everywhere. I'm going to try hard to not participate in the road rage as I'm driving to work or driving home. We all can have that temptation. We get frustrated because it seems like the person in front of us or the person that cut us off just has no brain at all. Just how could they do something so stupid? And then you find yourself getting angry. And as I watch these other people in their vehicles, I thought, I don't want to act like that. I want to show grace and mercy like God shows to me every day. What if God's attitude were like that? Oh, Sean, cut me off. I'm just ready to hammer him. What if God had that attitude towards us? We need to be full of grace and love. Jesus said, this is how they'll know you're my disciple, by the way you love one another. And in the end, when there's the separation of the sheep and the goats, what does he say? He says, enter into thy pleasure. Why? Because when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you helped me. You know, when I was hungry, you fed me and clothed me. I'm paraphrasing. And the sheep were like, when did we do all these things for you? And he said, that what you did to the least of these, you did unto me. So let's come out from among the Babylonians. Let's enter into our chambers and hide ourselves for a little while until the indignation be past, because my friends, the day of trouble is near. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we should not be afraid of the flame. because even though they were tossed in the fire, while they were in there, there was another one among them that looked like the Son of God. And when the king brought them back out because they would not burn, they didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. That's what real faith does for you. That's what really trusting in the name of the Lord does for you. That's what really believing in your heart of hearts. Not superficial, yeah, I know the truth, so I'll speak it, but you live it. You walk it out. You demonstrate that you trust God by the footsteps that you take in faith. Well, that's the word I have for you this morning, and I pray that it be anointed, and I pray that it be from God and not from myself. And I pray that it goes forth and pierces many hearts and causes you to fall on your knees before Him and draw near to Him and to draw near to His Son, Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. I've been switching up the format a little bit differently, probably moving from that Monday, Wednesday to Tuesday, Thursday. Just I like to have more time to prepare for the messages and to think and to allow God to speak into me, and because I'd rather provide you with good quality messages versus quantity of messages, if that makes sense. So bear with me as I try to figure this out. Also, your support could be used, so please consider supporting this broadcast. You can do that in the links in the description below. If you're listening on YouTube or if you're listening via podcast, please go to scriptureandprophecy.com. There's a subscribe tab where you can become a monthly Patreon subscriber, which really helps a lot, or there's a one-time donation button. Thanks for listening, friends. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.